Well, why don't we start off by telling me a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? How did you get involved with dentistry? And in particular, how did you get involved with periodontics?
Well, I grew up in Elizabeth, New Jersey. I had baby bottle syndrome as a child and had to start seeing a dentist at 3 and a half. When my mother first managed to get me into the dental chair, I was extremely frightened, and it took my childhood dentist quite a bit of time to turn me into possibly the best dental patient he ever had. And with some encouragement of him, my high school biology teacher, who thought I should absolutely go into a health-related profession, I thought dentistry would be a good career option. My family was a little disappointed. They wanted me to go into law. My brother, my cousins, my uncles were lawyers, but that just never interested me. And my college biology advisor, when I was talking to her, and I said, you know, I'm just not sure. I don't know if dentistry is going to be the right career choice for me. And she said, well, you know, Maxine, I think you'd be a great dentist. And I said, Miss Roche, what makes you think that? And she said, well, Maxine, you're one of the few people I know that can keep a one-sided conversation going for quite some time. And I thought, well, that is a skill that could actually be quite beneficial in the dental field. And it certainly has served me well over the years. And periodontics I chose because at the time I finished my dental training, perio was the new frontier. There was a tremendous amount of research going on in terms of what caused periodontal disease, how to develop new bone growth. And so it was, I think, a very wise decision at the time. Periodontics has changed a lot over the last 30 years. And so it's been very exciting for me as I have practiced, my skills have evolved as the research has evolved. And so I've practiced periodontics in a different way today than I did when I first graduated from dental school. And so it's kept it very exciting and interesting over the years.
Now, you've been very involved in the dental profession beyond just your own practice, but in terms of being involved with the profession itself. Tell me a little bit about that, if you would, please.
I've always been the kind of person who's been involved. I always tell people, you know, I was the kid who ran for class president in the third grade. I always felt that if you really think something is important, you should be involved, whether it's in your community, in your profession. I've told my children this. My daughter, who's now a sophomore in college, came home one day and told me in the third grade that she was co-class president. I was a little surprised that she had run. And I said, gee, Rebecca, I didn't know you were running for class president. She said, well, Mom, if you can run for president of the Dental Society, I can run for president of my class. And I was actually very pleased because that was the message I wanted to get across to my children, that I thought my profession was important to me and there were many important issues facing my profession and I wanted to be involved and I wanted to have a say in the future of my profession. So it's been very rewarding to me. And as I tell people, I think I have gotten far more from my involvement than I've put in. And I've tried to encourage young people to get involved early on because it gives you a whole different view of your profession when you are involved at this level.
You're the president-elect of the American Dental Association, but before that, you served at the state level. What was that like?
It was wonderful. I made so many close friends. I had the opportunity to meet many of our legislators. I just had this wonderful opportunity over the years. I was first involved in the Union County Dental Association, which I'm still involved with, and most of my very close friends in the profession I've made through those involvements, and those friendships are just what kept me going through my campaign at the national level. My greatest supporters came from right here in Union County, and it's just been a great network of colleagues and friends. It was wonderful, and it's made my career so enjoyable. And I feel that we as a team are able to provide really the best care for our patients through that network that we've developed over the years. And we have managed to fight for really the best possible programs. we're there protecting the rights of our patients in Trenton, in Washington, D.C. We do this work because really we're looking out for the rights of our patients, and that's really tantamount to what we do. It's all about that. I don't think the public understands it. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, whether it's legislation that affects the way their dental insurance is administered, legislation that may drive up the cost of the dental care. So we're there really protecting our patients, and it's been very rewarding. It really has.
You're the president-elect right now. When do you take on the mantle of the full presidency, and what's going to be involved with that? What's life going to be like once you become the full-time president, so to speak, of the ADA?
Well, I'm getting a taste of that this year. I become president in October in San Antonio, Texas, which is one of my favorite cities in America, which, interestingly enough, is where I became the trustee for ADA's 4th District, the position I held before I was elected president-elect. Basically, it's going to be very similar to what I do now. I'm going to travel all across the United States and meet with dentists all over America. I'll meet with dentists all over the world, which I've been doing this year as well. I will have an opportunity at times to meet with regulators and legislators, telling them about the important job dentists do for their patients. I'll have an opportunity to speak about prospective legislation, ensuring that future dentists have opportunities to go to dental school in a way that they'll be able to practice in much the same way that we've been able to practice, hopefully. So I think it will be very similar to what I'm doing this year, but I will be the voice of dentistry, which will be quite exciting. And hopefully I will speak well for our profession and represent the profession well. I look forward to that opportunity. It's pretty remarkable that someone who grew up in Elizabeth, New Jersey, who had baby bottle syndrome, would have this opportunity. So I'm excited. You know, I never thought that I would have this opportunity. So it just amazes me every day, frankly. It's quite remarkable to me that, you know, when I graduated in 1980 from dental school, I don't think I ever imagined that someday I would be the president of the American Dental Association. I'm the third woman to have this opportunity, so, you know, I take this very seriously, and I think it's, hopefully I'll be a role model for other young dentists coming up and graduating, that they should get involved in their profession, and really anything is possible if you work hard and get involved. And again, it's worth every bit of effort that I've put in over the years, and as I've said, I think that you get much more out of your commitment and involvement than you put in.
Beyond the advocacy that's involved with the ADA is also looking to promote oral health. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's the thing I'm most proud of. We are the advocates for optimum oral health for the public, and that's our greatest mission, ensuring that the American public has optimum oral health.